Chapter 3, Preparation. The stroke of genius that turns the fate of a battle? I don't believe in it. A battle is a complicated operation that you prepare laboriously. Marshal Ferdinand Foch. This chapter addresses the fundamentals of preparations to include its definition and functions. It offers guidelines for effective preparation and addresses specific preparation activities commonly performed within the headquarters and across the force to improve the unit's ability to execute operations. Fundamentals of preparation. Preparation consists of those activities performed by units and soldiers to improve their ability to execute an operation. Preparation creates conditions that improve friendly forces' opportunities for success and include activities such as rehearsals, training, and inspections. It requires commander, staff, unit, and soldier actions to ensure the force is ready to execute operations. Preparation helps the force transition from planning to execution. Preparation normally begins during planning and continues into execution by uncommitted units. Like other activities of the operations process, commanders drive preparation activities with a focus on leading and assessing. The functions of preparation include the following: improve situational understanding, develop a common understanding of the plan, train and become proficient on critical tasks, task organize and integrate the force, ensure forces and resources are positioned. Improve situational understanding. Developing and maintaining situational understanding requires continuous effort throughout the operations process, as discussed in Chapter 1. During preparation, commanders continue to improve their understanding of a situation. They realize that the initial understanding developed during planning may be neither accurate nor complete. As such, commanders strive to validate assumptions and improve their situational understanding as they prepare for operations. Information collection helps leaders better understand the enemy, terrain, and civil considerations. Inspections, rehearsals, and liaison help leaders improve their understanding of the friendly force. Based on new information gained from previous preparation activities, commanders refine the plan prior to execution. Develop a common understanding of the plan. Before the battle begins, an Army commander should assemble all commanders down to the lieutenant colonel level and explain to them the problem, his intention, his plan, and generally how he is going to fight the battle and make it go the way he wants. Field Marshal Bernard Law Montgomery. A successful transition from planning to execution requires those charged with executing the order to understand the plan fully. The transition between planning and execution takes place both internally in the headquarters and externally between the commander and subordinate commanders. Several preparation activities help leaders develop a common understanding of the plan. Confirmation briefs, rehearsals, and the plans to operations transition brief help improve understanding of the concept of operations, control measures, decision points, and command and support relationships. They assist the force with understanding the plan prior to execution. Train and become proficient on critical tasks. Units train to become proficient in those tasks critical to success for a specific operation. Commanders issue guidance about which tasks to train on and rehearse. They emphasize training that incorporates attached units to ensure they are integrated and to mitigate interoperability challenges prior to execution. Commanders also allocate time during preparation for units and soldiers to train on unfamiliar tasks prior to execution. For example, a unit unfamiliar with a wet gap crossing requires significant training and familiarization on employing small boats. Units may need to train on crowd control techniques in support of host nation elections. Leaders also allocate time for attaining and maintaining proficiency on individual soldier skills, such as zeroing weapons, combat life-saving tasks, and language familiarization. Task organize and integrate the force. Task organizing the force is an important part of planning. During preparation, commanders allocate time to put the new task organization into effect. This includes detaching units, moving forces, and receiving and integrating new units and soldiers into the force. When units change task organization, they need preparation time to learn the gaining unit's SOPs and learn their role in the gaining unit's plan. The gaining unit needs preparation time to assess the new unit's capabilities and limitations and to integrate new capabilities. Properly integrating units and soldiers into the force builds trust and improves performance in execution. Ensure forces and resources are positioned. Effective preparation ensures the right forces are in the right place at the right time with the right equipment and other resources ready to execute the operation. Concurrent with task organization, commanders use troop movement to position or reposition forces to the correct locations prior to execution. This includes positioning sustainment units and supplies. Pre-operations checks confirm that the force has the proper and functional equipment before execution. Guides to effective preparation. 9/10 of tactics are certain and taught in books, but the irrational 10th is like the kingfisher flashing across the pool, and that is the test of generals. It can only be ensured by instinct, sharpened by thought, practicing the stroke so often that at the crisis it is as natural as a reflex. T.E. Lawrence. Like the other activities of the operations process, commanders drive preparation. They continue to understand, visualize, describe, direct, lead, and assess. They gather additional information to improve their situational understanding, revise the plan as required, coordinate with other units and partners, and supervise preparation activities to ensure their forces are ready to execute operations. The following guides aid commanders and leaders in effectively preparing for operations. Allocate time and prioritize preparation efforts. Protect the force. Supervise.
Vignette. Prepare. Rangers train for seizing Pont du Hoc. The Allied plan for the 1944 invasion of the Normandy coast was divided into five significant landing sites: Juneau, Sword, Gold, Utah, and Omaha beaches. The Canadians would hit Juneau Beach, while the British stormed Sword and Gold beaches. The Americans would strike Utah and Omaha beaches, as well as the high cliff between these beaches called Pont du Hoc. It was on Pont du Hoc that the Germans had constructed a heavily fortified coastal artillery position. Of note, it had six 155mm guns facing the English Channel. These big guns enabled a secure defense, as the guns could rain havoc on the invasion force on Omaha Beach and on the ships in the Channel. To protect this significant position, the Germans built cement gun encasements, designed an interlocking trench system, including underground trenches, and deployed anti-aircraft artillery. Pont du Hoc appeared impregnable. The most unexpected route of attack was from the sea. The Americans, however, considered it an accessible assault point. They reasoned that with a well-trained force at low tide, soldiers could land on the narrow beaches below and ascend the cliff with the assistance of ropes and ladders. Understanding the hazards and vital importance of the landing beaches along the coast, Supreme Allied Commander General Dwight D. Eisenhower assigned the mission for the assault on Pont du Hoc to Lieutenant Colonel James E. Rutter and elements of the 2nd and 5th Ranger Battalions. The Rangers spent considerable time learning new skills and rehearsing for what many considered a suicide mission. While the Rangers received some instruction from British commandos, the Rangers mostly learned cliff climbing by trial and error. The Rangers practiced with various types of ropes and ladders. Eventually, rocket-fired rappelling ropes equipped with grappling hooks became the primary tool of choice for ascending the cliff of Pont du Hoc. Specially designed landing crafts outfitted with rocket launchers deployed the ropes to the tops of the cliff, 100 feet up from the beach. The Rangers also added extension ladders to several of the larger landing craft to extend towards the clifftop. They mounted machine guns on the top rungs of these ladders to suppress German machine gunners. In the weeks leading up to D-Day, the Rangers trained, developed, and tested their newly formed skills on various cliffs along the English coast and on the Isle of Wight. Eisenhower, at 0330 hours on June 5, decided that the favorable weather greenlighted Operation Overlord by shouting, "Okay, let's go!" Shortly before 0400 on June 6, the Rangers manned their landing craft, fully prepared for their mission to destroy the German guns at Pontduhac.
Allocate time and prioritize preparation efforts. Mission success depends as much on preparation as on planning. Higher headquarters may develop the best of plans. However, plans serve little purpose if subordinates do not receive them in time to understand them, develop their own plans, and prepare for the upcoming operation. As part of the operational timeline, commanders allocate sufficient time for preparation. This includes time for detaching units, moving forces, and receiving and integrating new units and soldiers into the force. It includes time to rehearse the operation to include designating the type of rehearsals. Commanders prioritize preparation activities by issuing specific instructions in Warnords and the Op Ward. Protect the force. The force as a whole is often most vulnerable to surprise and enemy attack during preparation. As such, security operations, screen, guard, cover, area security, and local security are essential during preparation. In addition, commanders ensure integration of the various tasks of the protection warfighting function to safeguard bases, secure routes, recover isolated personnel, and protect the force while it prepares for operations. See ADP 3-37 for a detailed discussion of protection. Operation security is an important consideration during preparation. Commanders direct measures to reduce the vulnerabilities of friendly action to enemy observation and exploitation. This includes measures to hide friendly movements, rehearsals, and the movement and concentration of forces. Supervise. Attention to detail is critical to effective preparation. Leaders monitor and supervise activities to ensure the unit is ready for the mission. Leaders supervise subordinates and inspect their personnel and equipment. Rehearsals allow leaders to assess their subordinates' preparations. They may identify areas that require more supervision. Preparation activities. If I always appear prepared, it is because before entering on an undertaking, I have meditated for long and have foreseen what may occur. It is not genius which reveals to me suddenly and secretly what I should do in circumstances unexpected by others. It is thought and preparation. Napoleon Bonaparte. Preparation activities help commanders, staffs, and soldiers understand a situation and their roles in upcoming operations. Commanders, units, and soldiers conduct preparation activities to help ensure the force is prepared for execution. Coordinate and establish liaison. Units and organizations establish liaison in planning and preparation. Establishing liaison helps leaders internal and external to the headquarters understand their unit's role in upcoming operations and prepare to perform that role. In addition to military forces, many civilian organizations may operate in the operational area. Their presence can both affect and be affected by the commander's operations. Continuous liaison between the command and unified action partners helps to build unity of effort. Liaison is most commonly used for establishing and maintaining close communications. It continuously enables direct physical communications between commands. Establishing and maintaining liaison is vital to external coordination. Liaison enables direct communications between the sending and receiving headquarters. It may begin with planning and continue through preparing and executing, or it may start as late as execution. Available resources and the need for direct contact between sending and receiving headquarters determine when to establish liaison. See FM 60 for a detailed discussion of liaison. Establishing liaisons with civilian organizations is especially important in stability operations because of various external organizations and the inherent coordination challenges. Civil affairs units, to include LNOs, are particularly important in coordination with civilian organizations. Initiate information collection. During planning and preparation, commanders take every opportunity to improve their situational understanding prior to execution. This requires aggressive and continuous information collection. Commanders often direct information collection to include reconnaissance operations early in planning that continues in preparation and execution. Through information collection, commanders and staffs continuously plan, task, and employ collection assets and forces to collect timely and accurate information to help satisfy CCIRs and other information requirements. See FM 3-55 for discussion on information collection. Initiate security operations. Security operations, screen, guard, cover, area security, and local security are essential during preparation. During preparation, the force is vulnerable to surprise and enemy attacks. Leaders are often away from their units and concentrated together during rehearsals. Parts of the force could be moving to task organize. Required supplies may be unavailable or being repositioned. Units assigned security missions execute these missions while the rest of the force prepares for the overall operation. Every unit provides local security to its own forces and resources. Initiate troop movements. The repositioning of forces prior to execution makes up a significant portion of activities of preparation. Commanders position or reposition units to the correct starting places before execution. Commanders integrate operations security measures with troop movements to ensure these movements do not reveal any intentions to the enemy. Troop movements include assembly area reconnaissance by advance parties and route reconnaissance. They also include movements required by changes to the task organization. Commanders can use warnords to direct troop movements before they issue the op ord. Complete task organization. During preparation, commanders complete task organizing their force to obtain the right mix of capabilities to accomplish a specific mission. The commander may direct task organization to occur immediately before the op ord is issued. This task organizing is done with a warnord. Doing this gives units more time to execute the tasks needed to affect the new task organization. Task organizing early allows affected units to become better integrated and more familiar with all elements involved. This is especially important with inherently time-consuming tasks, such as planning technical network support for the organization. Integrate new units and soldiers. Commanders, command sergeants major, and staffs help assimilate new units into the force and new soldiers into their units. They also prepare new units and soldiers in performing their duties properly and integrating into an upcoming operation smoothly. Integration for new soldiers includes training on unit SOPs and mission essential tasks for the operation. It also means orienting new soldiers on their places and roles in the force and during the operation. This integration for units includes, but is not limited to, receiving and introducing new units to the force and the AO, exchanging SOPs, conducting briefs and rehearsals, establishing communications links, exchanging liaison teams if required. Train. In no other profession are the penalties for employing untrained personnel so appalling or so irrevocable as in the military. General Douglas MacArthur. Training prepares forces and soldiers to conduct operations according to doctrine, SOPs, and the unit's mission. Training develops the teamwork, trust, and mutual understanding that commanders need to exercise mission command and that forces need to achieve unity of effort. Training does not stop when a unit deploys. If the unit is not conducting operations or recovering from operations, it is training. While deployed, unit training focuses on fundamental skills, current SOPs, and skills for a specific mission. Conduct pre-operations checks and inspections. Unit preparation includes completing pre-operations checks and inspections. These checks ensure units, soldiers, and systems are as fully capable and ready to execute the mission as time and resources permit. The inspections ensure the force has the resources necessary to accomplish the mission. During pre-operations checks and inspections, leaders also check soldiers' ability to perform crew drills that may not be directly related to the mission. Some examples of these include drills that respond to a vehicle rollover or an onboard fire. Initiate sustainment preparation. Resupplying, maintaining, and issuing supplies or equipment are major activities during preparation. Repositioning of sustainment assets can also occur. During preparation, sustainment personnel at all levels take action to optimize means, force, structure, and resources for supporting the commander's plan. These actions include, but are not limited to, identification and preparation of bases, coordinating for host nation support, and improving lines of communications. Initiate network preparations. During preparation, units must tailor the information network to meet the specific needs of each operation. This includes not only the communications, but also how the commander expects information to move between and be available for units and leaders in an AO. Commanders and staffs prepare and rehearse the information network to support the plan by managing available bandwidth, providing availability and location of data and information, positioning and structuring network assets, tracking status of key network systems. Manage terrain. Terrain management includes allocating terrain by establishing AOs, designating assembly areas, and specifying locations for units. Terrain management is an important activity during preparation as units reposition and stage prior to execution. Commanders assigned an AO manage terrain within their boundaries. Through terrain management, commanders identify and locate units in the area. The operations officer, with support from others in the staff, can then deconflict operations, control movements, and deter fratricide as units get in position to execute planned missions. Commanders also consider unified action partners located in their AO and coordinate with them for the use of terrain. Prepare terrain. Commanders must understand the terrain and the infrastructure of their AO as early as possible to identify potential for improvement, establish priorities of work, and begin preparing the area. Terrain preparation involves shaping the terrain to gain an advantage, such as building fighting and protective positions, improving cover and concealment, and reinforcing obstacles. Engineer units are critical in assisting units in preparing terrain to include building and maintaining roads, trails, airfields, and bases camps prior to and during operations. See FM 3-34 for a detailed discussion of engineer operations. Conduct confirmation briefs. A confirmation brief is a brief subordinate leaders give to the higher commander immediately after the operation order is given to confirm understanding. It is their understanding of the higher commander's intent, their specific tasks, and the relationship between their mission and the other unit's missions in the operation. The confirmation brief is a tool used to ensure subordinate leaders understand the commander's intent, mission, and concept of operations, their unit's tasks and associated purposes, the relationship between their unit's mission and those of other units in the operation. Ideally, the commander conducts confirmation briefs in person with selected staff members of the higher headquarters present. Conduct rehearsals. Sand table exercises by staffs up to and including Corps or Army, even on the most rudimentary type of sand table, are extremely helpful prior to an attack. General George S. Patton, Jr. A rehearsal is a session in which the commander and staff or unit practices expected actions to improve performance during execution. Commanders use rehearsals to ensure staffs and subordinates understand the concept of operations and commander's intent. Rehearsals also allow leaders to practice synchronizing operations at times and places critical to mission accomplishment. Effective rehearsals imprint a mental picture of the sequence of the operation's key actions and improve mutual understanding among subordinate and supporting units and leaders. The extent of rehearsals depends on available time. In cases of short-notice requirements, detailed rehearsals may not be possible. In these instances, subordinate leaders back-brief their higher commander on how they intend to accomplish the mission. See FM60 for a discussion of the different types of rehearsals. Leaders conduct rehearsals to practice essential tasks, identify weaknesses or problems in the plan, coordinate subordinate element actions, improve soldier understanding of the concept of operations, foster confidence among soldiers. Conduct plans to operations transition. The plans to operations transition is a preparation activity that occurs within the headquarters. It ensures members of the current operations integration cell fully understand the plan before execution. During preparation, the responsibility for maintaining the plan shifts from the plans or future operations integrating cell for division and above headquarters, integrating cell to the current operations integration cell. This transition is the point at which the current operations integration cell becomes responsible for short-term planning and controlling execution of the op board. This responsibility includes answering requests for information concerning the order and maintaining the order through frag orders. This transition enables the plans and future operations integrating cells to focus their planning efforts on sequels, branches, and other planning requirements directed by the commander. The timing of the plans to operations transition requires careful consideration. It must allow enough time for members of the current operations integration cell to understand the plan well enough to coordinate and synchronize its execution. Ideally, the plans or future operations cell briefs members of the current operations integration cell on the transition before the combined arms rehearsal. This brief enables members of the current operations integration cell to understand the upcoming operation, as well as identify friction points and issues to solve prior to its execution. The transition brief is a mission brief that generally allows the 5-paragraph op-ord format. Additional areas addressed include decision support products, execution matrices, decision support templates, decision support matrices, and risk assessment matrices, known friction points, branches and sequels under considerations, outstanding requests for information and issues. Following the combined arms rehearsal, planners and members of the current operations integration cell review additional planning guidance issued by the commander and modify the plan as necessary. Significant changes may require assistance from the plan cell to include moving a lead planner to the current operations integration cell. The plans cell continues planning for branches and sequels. Revise and refine the plan. Revising and refining the plan is a key activity of preparation. During preparation, assumptions made during planning may be proven true or false. Intelligence analysis and reconnaissance may confirm or deny enemy actions or show changed conditions in the AO because of shaping operations. The status of friendly forces may change as the situation changes. Rehearsals may identify coordination issues or other problems needing adjustment. In any of these cases, commanders identify the changed conditions, refine the plan, and issue frag orders. Supervise. When leaders supervise, they check details critical to effective preparation. Leaders monitor and supervise activities to ensure the unit is ready for the mission. Leaders supervise subordinates and inspect their personnel and equipment. Rehearsals allow leaders to assess their subordinates' preparations. They may identify areas that require more supervision.
Vignette: Large Unit Preparation. 3rd Army readies for Operation Iraqi Freedom. At an October 2002 Army Commanders Conference, General Eric Shinseki directed, "From today forward, the main effort of the U.S. Army must be to prepare for war with Iraq." 3rd Army, already supporting operations in Afghanistan, shifted emphasis from deterring an Iraqi invasion of Kuwait or Saudi Arabia to mounting offensive operations to topple Saddam Hussein. As Operation Iraqi Freedom changed from possible to probable, the 3rd Army, also designated as the Coalition Forces Land Component Command, CFLC, undertook a number of important tasks designed to prepare for war. From the Army's perspective, these included revising plans for the invasion, preparing the theater infrastructure, determining the Ground Forces command and control architecture, augmenting and training headquarters and soldiers, fielding new equipment, providing theater-wide support, mobilizing the Army Reserve and Army National Guard forces, deploying forces into theater, and moving to the border. Forces prepared to operate at a scale and scope not seen since Operation Desert Storm, with units not used to working together. They conducted a series of exercises to refine the plan and to develop procedures, teamwork, and familiarity across the divisions, Corps, CFLIC, and U.S. Central Command. Exercise Victory Strike enabled the 5th Corps staff to practice planning, preparing, and executing Corps operations with the focus of deep fires and maneuver that would be critical to the coming campaign. Exercise Lucky Warrior provided the first opportunity for the CFLIC's major subordinate elements, 5th Corps, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and Coalition Forces, to rehearse operations under the CFLIC headquarters. Exercise Internal Look provided the venue to the final preparations for the anticipated campaign. This venue allowed the joint force and functional components to examine and refine their plans and work out procedures at the combatant command level. 5th Corps conducted the last significant series of exercises at Grafenwöhr, Germany, in January and February of 2003, called Exercise Victory Scrimmage. Collective training by units from the smallest sections all the way up to CFLIC headquarters continued through March. Throughout Kuwait, units engaged in last-minute training, resupplied ammunition, fuel, and other supplies, and ensured individual mental and physical preparedness for war by soldiers. By 18 March, 3rd Army and its subordinate units were prepared to open the campaign.